back to be, happy to be back with the Olim again, with Hashem. what I wanted to speak about tonight is focus on something very valuable, very special, and I suspect that Olim doesn't, as myself even, does not give the proper cheshivas or to this following thing that we're going to talk about. We know that with Klal Yisrael experienced the climax of after the Samakis went out, and finally they had this stressful experience of the Egyptians chasing them, and then it gets to the greatness of the Kriyas Yamsuf, which was really the most stupendous gilui of the Kavod Shemayim, of the Malchus Shemayim that ever happened since the creation of the world, right? That was the greatest gilui of the Malchus Shemayim. Now, like, what would a person say after they experience witnessing such a thing like that? What words could be said? So, I guess here would be very apropos the expression they use in the country over here, "Ein milim," I don't have words, and that would be very matim here, apropos, because who would have words to describe it, to crystallize the reflection of such an event. But the Maisa, and if they did say something, so maybe if it would be on some parchment that was hidden in some cave up in Tzfas, at the very down in the ground, an apartment that was thousands of years old. You had to go down there with a candle, and you couldn't even touch it. You could just like look at it. The words that were said by Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael, after witnessing the Malchus Shemayim, it's in its fullest glory. So you just could look at the words, those words written on that paper. So here we have it, Rabbi Say, it's written up in the Chumash, the Oz Yashir. And not only is it in the Chumash, but Rabbi Say, for some reason, the Chazal included it in the Pesukei Dezimrat that we say every day. So, like, I don't know if the Olam appreciates, like, these words that we're saying, that express the epitome and the most accurately that we're capable of, the human beings capable of, to describe, verbalize the feelings upon witnessing the greatest gilui of the Kavod Shemayim, of the Malchus Shemayim. And we can understand a little bit what I'm saying, like from the fact that Chazal revealed that even an uba be made imoy, even an embryo said it. Like, so it shows that it's not just the Chazal is a whole shayla of the Chazal, that how exactly was it said? According to some shittas, so Moshe Rabbeinu said one stanza, and simultaneously, like spontaneously, is Klal Yisrael said the next one, and then Moshe Rabbeinu said one, and again spontaneously, Klal Yisrael said the next one, and that's why it went back and forth like that. So from this itself, like, where did Klal Yisrael all together spontaneously know what to say, is because they were in a very high madriga of Ruach HaKodesh and with connection with the Shechina when they said it, and it was something, they weren't composing it, it just everybody, millions of people happened to compose like the same thing, just happened to come out like that. They were saying something that was being said from a very high madriga of Ruach HaKodesh, like they were divinely inspired to say these words. So basically, What the point of that I wanted to work on tonight is that we should try to give the proper yichas, yachas, to this Oz Yosher, you know, more than I think that we'll be giving up to now. Like, one of the problems that I think we have with this is that even taking in consideration what I'm saying is true, right? That has this significance and value. But the Maisa, when we say it, when we look at the words, try to look at it objectively, I don't think we feel so moved by it. Like, you know, okay, it's nice, just Ramayom, okay, it's nice, it's very nice words that indeed express being inspired by the Nisim. But to say that these words like are so special, so awesome, I think that whole feeling, like you don't get from this at all. You don't feel moved at all if by saying it. But the truth is that what I'm saying is true anyway. In other words, that's one of the problems I think that we deal with, that even though like when you look at the words, you know, objectively, with sitting there, brought down, I don't think that it's something that evokes from us like the feeling or the recognition of how stupendously great these words are. You know, like, okay. So this is one of the problems that we have with it, because it doesn't take away from the greatness of it, and that there's no better way of expressing these things. Not one word more wouldn't make it better, and one word less to take away, not one letter more when they would. This is like exactly the greatest way of expressing the awesomeness of this ness, right? So if we don't feel it, after saying these words, so we have a problem, but it doesn't take away from the chashivas of the words, right, by saying. So, you know, just what I wanted to suggest to Maisa is that, you know, is that what I'd like to inspire the Olam Taka to start appreciating what the shiva that we say every day. Like, first of all, it's interesting that the Chazal inserted it in the Pesukei Dezimra. You know, we don't realize, like, when they did that, they were putting something so important in there. You know, and because we don't understand the importance, and we say it every day, so it seems like to get lost by the wayside. You know, like, you know, it's something that you have to say. It's Pesukei Dezimra. And it doesn't even have that so much chesivus, because I think if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, if you're late for davening, so you have like the priorities, what got to go, what doesn't go, you know, like what's on the list of priorities. So I think like the shira is one of the things that has got to go, you know, one of the early things that we, you know, you have to get out of the way if you want to, you know, hit Gaul Yisrael together with the Sibur. So you have to cut out certain things, and that's one of the things that you know, and the high priority, the high list that you can cut out, if we say. So this doesn't help to add to the feeling of understanding of how chashuv this thing is. You know, the fact that, so I mean, the whole thing that it's a Pesukei Dezimra, just like knock it off every day, just say it. You know, they very quickly go through it. Itself, you know, takes away from the chashivus of it. From, like, you have to understand that they put in there something like so chashuv and so important. Like, it wasn't just it was something that they expected us to be oimed on. You know, like to try to, you know, like appreciate what's being said over here. But see, you know, sometimes I like to stand, so maybe I'll just. Yeah, don't feel uncomfortable. I don't understand her. I like to stand. Anyway. So that's what we'd like to, Beth Hashem, try to accomplish tonight with this Uvda for this week, to try to put the proper, at least try to get a little bit of the proper yichas that we're supposed to have to the Shira. So what I wanted to suggest to the Meiser, we say, two basic Uvdas, Shnayim Shishbo Shalosh, maybe, to and to help us to relate to it, you know, in the proper way. So first of all, sometimes some of the translation is not so clear, or the sentence structure. So the first thing I would like to suggest is that we should, for a few minutes every day, devote like a few minutes to, not during davening, just to learning it. Like you could, one part, a few psukim, look in the Rashi, look at other mafarshim, look in the translation. Like, try to also, another project of learning it is to make patterns. In other words, when you first look at it, like it looks like there's no, like, no special seder, goes from this, goes to that, that, back to this, that, around, you know, like just back and forth talks about the wickedness of the Goyim, and talks about the greatness of the Yidden, you know, and it talks about the pachet that the Shimuam Yerusun, Chilach Azir Peloshes, Ot Nifluh Adom, you know, so these Pesukim that talk about this, back, this, round, you know, like, sometimes you stand back, and you read through the whole thing, so you start getting a certain kind of feeling of some kind of a pattern, right? Which helps to understand and to appreciate it. So the first of the, which I want to suggest, is to try to learn through it as much as you could, if you learn with Rashi or some other periods, or even the English translations, read with that. And also, when you're learning it, whatever, if you're not sure of the translation, look up the translations. If you're not so sure of the general connotation of the sentence, so look that up. You know, if you have no problem with the translation and the sentence, so then you maybe spend time observing the pattern. Maybe you can make some kind of a pattern out of it, you know, that some kind of order of why they speak about this, back to that, back, right? That's also a very helpful tool to try to understand it. Right? So that's number one. But then number two, what I want to suggest is that during davening, it's time to say it itself, so we should try to appreciate like what we're saying and why we're saying it. So the first thing that we say is that you have to know that when they said it, this was like after this is the climax of such an awesome ordeal they went through. After having the slavery and going through the Essen Makis, and then the climax was this Makis Bechayrus, and which they agreed, and then they let them out, and finally, like they, you know, they're marching out of Mitzrayim, you know, Mitzrayim, they're so like happy they finally got out after all these years, and Paro and Mitzrayim learned the lesson, that, you know, like that's why they freed them. Makas Bechayrus really gave it to them good, that they really understood and appreciated, like, you know, to let the Yidden go, Taka, and the wickedness of what it was, the wickedness of the whole idea of being Meshabed, people like no right to do a thing like that. So, so they're walking out, understanding that the Mitzrayim, they walked out feeling that the Mitzrayim really understood what they were doing, you know, and the riches of it. Now they were releasing them, and then all of a sudden we get the report, the after us again. You know, they, with their chariots and the swords and the knives and the weak look on their face, all the whole army there, they have to Klai Yisrael again, after the whole business. The mansion, the anxiety that Klai Yisrael was going through, you know, when after everything, he thought that the three of them finally lifted up their hands, we give up, we're in Yayish, gets to get out of here, go. So bite after them, and you know, and there's nowhere to go. You know, they surrounded them, and there was nowhere to go. The water wasn't an option, and to go back wasn't an option. So like the Mamish was like they call it catch 22. There's nothing was open to them, and then finally the nest that the Yam opened up. You know, so now, okay, they were lucky enough to have this nest that the Baruch opened up the Yam. What are they going to do for them? The Mitzrayim are closing in on them, getting closer and closer and closer. So what is the Yam supposed to do? You know, and sure enough, they're really getting close. And then so Hashem made this tremendous nest, but all it did was, let Klai Yisrael move, and the Mitzrayim were coming right after them. And then finally, Klai Yisrael coming up to the other side of the Yam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu making such a stupendous, mamish, awesome, this nest. Like, I hate to use such a word, like for the Baruch Hashem, but it's like a piece of art. You know, it's like the sophistication of it, just the idea that he made it, you know, that the Egyptians are running after Klai Yisrael, and then, like, he opened up the Yam, and Klai Yisrael is coming through, and the Egyptians are, you know, coming after them, continuing, and then Klai Yisrael is coming up the other end. And this one, they're all right down there, you know, and the bottom, so that when Hashem takes the water and closes up on them, it's such a masterpiece of, Hashem should forgive me if I'm, like it's a piece of art with what he did, you know, in the tactics over here. Like, he could have made it many different ways, but the tool that he used was an open demonstration of this tremendous tactic of how we now Klai Yisrael is standing on the other side after witnessing all this, and the dead Mitzrayim are coming up, their heads are bopping up and down, in the top of the water, the corpses are floating there. This look, still with this wicked look on their face that they're killed for their wickedness and their wicked intentions, and Klai Yisrael is, the sky is blue, the sun is shining, the birds are chirping, and they were zeichet to be the recipients of this Gvaldika nest from Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? So and plus the emotions of again being put through the mill of the pachad, and then Kodesh Baruch Hu, coming again to the rescue and saving them. So this was the a little bit of the insight of the feelings that the Yidden had when they were standing there on the other side of the Yam, looking down on the Mitzrayim, floating there in the water, dead. So, and at that point, that's when they said the Shira, to express their emotions of gratitude and their appreciation of the demonstration of the Malchus Hashem in the world, right? That they appreciated more than anything else, that Hashem showed His presence in the world, so openly, so clearly. So now, what they said to express all this was the words of the Shira, if I say. So, like what I wanted to suggest, that even though we're not so familiar with meaning, the deep meaning of all the words, and why this is so special in expressing the awesomeness for the Ness, but nevertheless, I think what we should try to do, for whatever time we have available in the morning, a few seconds, a few minutes, whatever, to try to stand there and visualize the scene that I'm standing at the end, the other side of the Yam Suf, and the bodies of the Egyptians are floating in the water, and the simcha that we have from seeing them dead, you know, after what they try to do to us, and try to generate a little bit of the enthusiastic feeling that the Klal Yisrael had after, you know, going through all this, and then try to say the Oz Yashir with this kind of feeling in mind. Also, like we assume that he spends a little time during the day analyzing the Lashon, getting the Lashon clear, you know, the vocabulary, the words are different, difficult for some of the Chazal. So now when you say it, at least you have like material, chaymer, to to think about when you're saying it, what we're saying. So once again, you should pause for, try to pause for a few minutes and try to recapture this scene in your mind, and then try to say the Shira with this picture in your mind, plus, you know, trying to in your own mind appreciate the words, you know, whatever you came to on the other part of the Uvda of understanding the translation of the words and the significance of the words or what was said, what wasn't, whatever you want to, whatever level you're on, whatever, that try to now, as you're saying it, to use the your insight as a tool to, as you're saying it, keeping in mind that you're going through the experience of witnessing, you know, this greatness. So that's what I wanted to suggest to myself, Bresan. Of course, in order to do this, you know, properly, so most of us will have to reorient, the only way this can be done, really, is that start like a few minutes before the davening, so you have time to do this, right? Because it doesn't take a second that you want to appreciate the scene and think about it. I know, just to share Eitza Teiva with you, my own personal experience, like, you know, if you want to say the Shira, say it quickly. I don't know how many seconds it takes to knock it off. It's not so much time, right? You say, knock it off. Yeah, I have to use such an expression like that. But that's what we try, you know, knock off the Shira. If you say it at all, because, you know, maybe you're late. But I know from my own experience, like, to say it, like with a little bit, like a shtickle ben adam, like to say, like, it takes like at least between 3 and 4 minutes. And that's not being a big tzaddik, you know, like to think into it, which could take like even more than that. But just attain the chacham yachem odu, try it yourselves. But I'm just saying my own personal experience. Like, I find that just to say it like a minimum of just to say the words properly and to give it like a minimum thought, but you're saying it, like it takes me at least 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes. You know, you have an approximate proximity of, you know, and of course, if you want to think about it, so you need a little bit of time besides this. But usually you can't really exercise this thing unless chacham be'ena bereshit, like you have to leave like a certain amount of time. But otherwise, like, it's not gonna. And what can I say? It's very inspiring. You know, if you say it with this machshava tzadir, you say the words, it's a very uplifting experience to Shira. Like again, understanding the circumstances of why it was said and when it was said, it only makes sense that it had the chashivas that I'm trying to give over to you, to communicate with you, Rabbi Zayn. So is that clear? We say that the lemaisa, like all these other types of this, I always say it's a favor that if you have a pen and a piece of paper, sometimes when you get your inspirations of, you know, different ideas that you've seen, it would be kataitic to write them down, by side. You know, and again, it's a very valuable source of but again, the nature of it is, the oddity of it is that there is a pashup shat, that looks so, like, I want to use that word, like mediocre, like nothing is nice, no, it's beautiful, but I mean, to say that this is, a manifestation of this is, to really feel the reality of the significance of what I'm trying to communicate to you, what it really has, I think that's a very far cry from, feeling that. So I think one of the obstacles that we're up against in trying to appreciate is that there is a chat, and it's like, it seems mediocre to us, so like, you have to fight that, say, no, there is something special here, something awesome, even if we don't know exactly what it is, but there is something very, very special here, right? I was here during the Six-Day War, it's an experience that nobody ever should know such experience like that, because like we have a country goes to war, so you have the battlefield, you have the civil, the civilians and the battlefield of war. Over here, like in 1 second, like Yerushalayim was a battlefield. I was walking in the street and all of a sudden I found myself on a battlefield, with bullets all over and bombs falling and shells. Civilians are not prepared for this. They have to go to army training, the traumatic experience to be. I remember I had just been coming from Shari Tzedek, I had to be there, for something, and it was used to be in Rehov Yafo, and I ran into it. I heard something from my old Cowboys and Indian movie days, something that sounded like shooting. And I ran into a store, as a reflex, and the soldier also ran in, and then he screamed out to me, "Get down, fall down the floor," He also fell down, because there were bullets, imagine such an experience. You walk in the street and all of a sudden like bullets are flying and bombs and everything. Then that night we were in Osad Diskin, and they had Beit Yisom and Diskin. The Torah Or was there at that time, and we were in the Miklat, and with a few other yeshivas, pitch black, like you wouldn't have to even be a cigarette, and she got all more and more awesome, the bombing and the shooting, and it looked like the building was shaking. It felt like right before the end, finally. And so there was a very big Tamchot Magadol that was with us together. And he said that in a time like this, like you say the Shira, like before, like it looks like it's the end, Mamish. Rav Hashem lived to tell the story, but it seemed like he said it's the skula, like just the last thing, like to say the Shira. Probably I'm thinking according to what we're saying now, reflects expression of witnessing the Mal Shemayim. So it's like the Einod Movado, recognizing Hashem is a tremendous skula for, so it could be, that's the Svara in the skula, but remember that, I remember him saying that it was like, this at this point now they say it's easy to say like the last thing before ready to a person should never have such a anyway. Baruch Hashem, so it was, it's clear what the Uvda is, right? So we should be, if she have a success with it, then she should be able to awaken us, inspire us, like the really chashivas of this thing. We're saying okay, good.
Now you ask who was the Adam Nebuchadnezzar.